I'm Dr. Cheryl Olson, and this is What's Your Point? Today's podcast is for experts, those of you doing research and clinical work. It's about losing your dread of media interviews. I just got a call from CNN Headline News today, which is why I thought of this topic. If the phrase, a reporter wants to talk to you, makes you wince, you are not alone. As long as we've had mass media, journalists have sought out the opinions of experts, and those experts, especially clinicians and researchers, have been torn over their proper role. More than a century ago, the Journal of the American Medical Association warned about the temptation to toy with the Delilah of the press, which could, of course, only lead to regrets and damaged reputations. I used to teach a course at Massachusetts General Hospital on more effective use of mass media. I'd always point out that if knowledgeable people with a real desire to educate the public shun TV and radio opportunities, then people with questionable qualifications and motives will step up to fill the gap. Do you want the public to rely on the Dr. Phils of the world? I find that several issues come up again and again that keep doctors and researchers from working with the media. First, there's concern about embarrassing yourself, especially in front of colleagues. Will you seem unprofessional or, worse, self-promoting? To overcome this fear, it helps to reframe the way you think about media interviews. It's not about ego or self-promotion. It's about public service. It's public health outreach. This is a chance to help people interpret confusing or scary situations, to reduce barriers to seeking treatment, or even just to spare some moms and dads from needless worry. A second concern I see experts have about speaking to the media, oddly enough, is coming across as sufficiently authoritative and knowledgeable, especially at major universities and hospitals where nationally or internationally known experts abound. It can seem like hubris for the merely well-informed to speak on a subject. You don't have to be familiar with every aspect of a topic. You don't have to be one of the nation's leading experts on attention deficit disorder to teach the public about it. All you need to do, probably all you'll have time to do, is get across two or three simple points. So before the interview, jot down some notes about the points you want to make. For example, I do a lot of radio interviews related to my research on media violence. Depending on the context of the particular interview, my points might be studies by the FBI did not find a link between school shootings and media violence. Youth violence is not increasing. It's actually been decreasing. It's coverage of crime that's up. The best way to control your child's media use is to get the TV, computer, and other gadgets out of his or her bedroom. There, three simple points. You won't always be able to get all your points in, but having a plan increases your odds of giving your listeners some useful information. Another concern about talking to the media arises from simple fear of the unknown. You know what's expected of you when you present at Grand Rounds or do a clinical interview, but what's expected of you during a media interview? Where do you start and when should you stop talking? Here are some tips. If it's a TV interview, your best bet is to just look at and talk to the reporter or host. Don't worry about where the camera is. If you're doing a radio interview on the telephone, a headset is a definite asset. It frees up your hands so that you can gesture with your hands as you talk. This helps you focus and to pace yourself. When you think about what to say, remember that you're speaking to individuals who can't see each other, not to some vast auditorium. If you're a physician, it's not unlike talking to a patient. If you're a researcher, imagine you're explaining something to your aunt, your nephew, or your neighbor. Ditch the jargon and use stories and analogies. As a researcher or clinician, you've been trained to present your evidence before giving conclusions. For a media interview, you have to fight that training and do just the opposite. State your conclusion, then use examples to make your point clear and meaningful to your audience. Here's an example. Say you're an expert on attention deficit disorder. You want to call attention to common misconceptions that keep kids from getting help. Start with a conclusion and include an example. We overlook a lot of kids with attention deficit disorder. When people think of ADD, they picture a child who can't sit still, is all over the place. Because of this, a child with ADD who is not hyperactive may not get attention. That girl sitting in the back of the classroom, daydreaming but not causing any trouble, she may need her help just as much, but she is much less likely to get it. One last point, When you're on the air, you may feel pressured to fill the space with words. Don't. When you've made a point, stop talking. I'm Dr. Cheryl Olson.